Today, I welcome Helena Summerfield to the In Conversation With podcast for women in jazz media. Helena is Learning and Participation Project Manager at Jazz North, the jazz talent development agency for the north of England. After graduating from Guildhall School of Music and Drama, saxophonist Helena has worked in a variety of mainstream and inclusive music education settings. She was Jazz Education of the Year Award winner in 2022 for the Parliamentary Jazz Awards in recognition for her work with Jazz Camp for Girls. Helena has also worked as the Interim Project Manager for National Youth Jazz Collective. Hello, Helena, how are you?
Hi, Hannah. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very well, thank you.
Good. I loved reading your bio about that. I love it when people send me bios because I'm like, oh, what exciting things. And then I do a little bit of research and it's nice to have a fellow award-winning for jazz education on.
Definitely, yes. So it was, I think it was really nice that Jazz Camp for Girls won it. And then it was like followed by J Steps. I thought that was a really nice kind of nod to the fact we're doing kind of similar things, you know, in the north and in the south of England.
Yeah. Everybody needs a little bit of a chance, don't they? All genders.
Definitely.
So tell me, we are nearly at Easter. How is 2024 going for you so far?
It's going well, thank you. We had our main Jazz Camp for Girls weekend earlier this month, so that took place the weekend before International Women's Day. We always like to do that because it kind of ties in really nicely, especially this year with the Inspire Inclusion theme. So yeah, we had our Jazz Camp for Girls weekend. We had I think off the top of my head 89 girls took part in the weekend.
Whoa.
So yeah, so we had six camps across the north of England. So they took place in Cumbria, in Hull, in Grimsby, in Leeds, in Trafford, and in Chorley. Mm-hmm. So we had our six camps. And yeah, the idea is that they just give girls this really fun, positive and supportive experience of playing jazz and improvising. So they're not aimed at girls who are already kind of skilled improvisers, that they're aimed at girls who are just interested in having a go and, you know, maybe haven't ever played in a band before. They've just been playing at home. And it's really nice for them to come together, meet other like-minded young musicians and just play jazz. And We take the idea of sort of female role models really seriously. So we produce a handbook every year, and that's full of little practice tips, interviews with female jazz musicians, interviews with women working in the jazz industry, you know, just to inspire the girls and show them that there are women out there doing great things. We have like recordings that we suggest they listen to. And yeah, it's a nice little thing for like a little memento for them to take home and refer to after the camp weekend. And also for their parents, because I think it's really important. You know, I've got two teenage children and, you know, I'll say, what did you do today at school? Nothing. And it's quite nice for the parents to look at the handbook and see, you know, what the girls have been taking part in. And, you know, for them as well, thinking, oh, my daughter could have a career in jazz, or, you know, being a jazz musician is a viable career option. I said that and then thought, is it? Yeah, of course it is. Yes.
Yeah. Being a musician, I mean, it's in any shape or form is, I just have to go with what you love now, I think.
Definitely. And I think there's an article in there actually about having a career as sort of a portfolio career. And I think nowadays that's the reality, I think, for so many musicians is that, you know, you'll play, but also you do some teaching or, you know, be involved in the arts in a different way. So I think that's something as well to make parents aware of, that, you know, a portfolio career is a very viable option too.
Mm. And it keeps things interesting, actually.
Mm, definitely.
Mm. So it's called Jazz Camp. Do they actually stay then?
No, unfortunately, not at the moment. We inherited the name from a very successful project in Denmark. Yeah, it's like a Danish initiative which has spread out across Europe and further. It's now even taking place in Canada. So, yeah, we inherited the name, but we're hoping that possibly in another year or so, we would be able to offer like an actual residential event. That's our kind of aim, that at some point we could have the, you know, the camp weekend, that are non-residential, and then in the summer be able to offer the girls a residential experience.
So how do the days, so how many days is it? Just the weekend, Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, depending on the partner organisation, it can be a two-day event. Quite often it has ended up being a one-day event just due to, you know, logistics for the different partners. But yeah, we like to have a variety of activities. So they'll all start off together doing, you know, warm-ups, getting to know each other. We do some physical warm-ups and vocal warm-ups as well as instrumental. And then depending on the size of the group, how many girls have applied for that particular camp, they'll either stay all together, sometimes that works better, or they'll split into kind of, you know, ability bands. So, you know, if you've got quite a large camp, you might end up with three groups, and then they'll be able to do repertoire that's suitable to their, you know, experience. And then at the end of the day, we come back together and do a little sharing for the parents. We also like to try and connect the camps, because the idea is that, you know, across that weekend, across the north of England, girls are all playing jazz and improvising. So we set up Zoom meetings so they can all say hello to each other, you know, give each other a wave, play to each other. Sometimes the playing, the audio side, that hasn't been as successful. That's something I need to think about a bit more for next year. But I think it's nice for the girls to see each other and you know, feel part of something a bit bigger than just their, you know, their individual camp.
And what is the average age of the girls?
13, 14, that sort of age. They're aimed at girls between 8 and 15. But it tends to be kind of school years, 7, 8, that's the most popular age for the camp.
And how do you source them? How do they find out about it? Because that's, I think, probably quite a tough job, because parents are busy. How do you advertise it, all of that work? How does that kind of come about?
Yeah, good question. Because we're working with these different partner organisations, and they tend to be like music hubs, music services. So the girls that they'll be able to, you know, recruit their pool of girls, you know, often they already might have instrumental lessons through the music service or come to one of their groups or ensembles. So the partners will be promoting, you know, via their, you know, if they've got a way of contacting parents like Speed Admin or whatever they use, and their Facebook page, Twitter, social media, whatever the service is already active on. Jazz North obviously take responsibility as well for promoting via their socials. So, you know, we're on, we've got our website and Instagram and Facebook, Twitter, etc. So yeah, it's kind of a combined effort between Jazz North and the partner organisations to promote their camp.
Right. Because I think it is sometimes difficult for parents to find out what's going on if they're not at a certain hub. Like some, I used to do National Youth Music Theatre. I was in the band for many years, and we all met up recently. We were playing for a memorial, and we were talking about how we found out about it. And my mum watched Blue Peter, and it was in the credits at the end, so she had to wait till the end to find out what was on and who to phone. I didn't even see the programs, and you know how you find out about these things is really interesting. I mean, that was obviously years ago, but there's so much information now, almost you can miss it.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I guess it's signing up for newsletters or just, yeah, parents, it is a big job having to kind of, yeah, keep an eye on social media as well as everything else you have to do. So yeah, no, it's different. And I think there's so much choice available for young people as well these days. So, you know, the music activities are competing against the sports activities and this, that and the other. So yeah, I mean, I think parents are amazing, keeping their eyes out for these opportunities for their children and, you know, signing them up for things.
Mm. And how long have you been running the Jazz Camp for Girls?
6 years.
Great. So
we had our pilot in 2019.
And has it grown in that time?
Yeah, we've had more partner organisations involved over the last 6 years. I think there's still more. Like I say, it'd be great if at some point we could have the residential course. I think at the moment we've got a nice model that works well, but we are looking to think about how we can develop the project further. I mean, a couple of years ago I created a resource pack. That was a big development. The idea being that, you know, the partners, we're providing them with a resource pack, which has got audio files, video files, scores, you know, suggested activities that they can do, so that it's something that their camp staff can use, but also other teachers within the Music Hub, Music Service can use the resources, because they're all like great starting points for getting into improvising. And it's just like a suggested, the idea is that you know, the tutors can have like a mix and match approach. So they could use some of my activities, or they can think, oh, well, I know something similar. Because obviously you need to feel confident with what you're delivering. And the Danish Initiative, they always said that each camp plays to the strengths of the staff that are delivering it. So you might get one, you know, one camp that's quite free and quite, you know, using, I don't know, graphic scores, or, you know, you might get one where they're using music technology more because that's the strength of the staff they've got there. You might have one that's more standard based, one that's more, you know, about creating their own compositions. So each, you know, experience is quite unique, but you know, it's just still giving girls those skills of feeling confident and getting that nice creative experience.
And that's run under, is it run as a separate thing, or is it under Jazz North? What does Jazz Camp for Girls come under?
So Jazz Camp for Girls is like I say, it was an initiative started by Jazz Denmark and the Copenhagen Jazz Festival, and then that spread out across Europe. And then I guess Jazz North are kind of like the UK franchise. That's probably the easiest way to explain it. So we're the partner within this bigger project, delivering it.
That seems like a huge responsibility on your shoulders, Helena, for the future of jazz. Well done.
Well, it's just something I feel very passionately about. And when we first learned about the project, Eva and Anita from Jazz Denmark came over to do a presentation at the Jazz North Education Conference. And there was about three or four female members who were in the audience watching their presentation. And we were just so excited by this. We're like, what an amazing initiative. Why isn't this happening here? You know, and we're all like, well, we want to make this happen. So at that point, I wasn't working for Jazz North. I was there with my music service head on. And we just were chatting with Nigel Slee from Jazz North at the end of the conference, saying, look, this is so cool. We need to make something like this happen in the North. And luckily, yeah, Jazz North were equally enthusiastic and applied for some funding. And yeah, we're granted funding from Ronnie Scott's Charitable Foundation to put on a pilot. So we put on our pilot project, and yeah, it's kind of developed from there. But I just love working on it. Like I say, it was always, I just thought, I wish I'd had that opportunity to attend a Jazz Camp for Girls event when I was growing up. So I've just wanted to, you know, make more girls have that experience, so that, you know, they do feel confident that they can join their school jazz band, or they can take the solo. Quite often we get girls who, you know, they might be in a jazz ensemble, but they don't really have the confidence to volunteer to take a solo. But then if they've gone to Jazz Camp for Girls and had that positive experience, you know, they can go back to their jazz band and, you know, not be scared to volunteer to take a solo.
Yeah, I have that in J Steps. Some of them are killer readers. And yet don't want to take a solo, even if it's a 12-bar blues. And since J Steps has been about, they have taken, they've felt brave and they've gone for it, which is part of the reason we do it, isn't it?
Definitely. Mm. I think that's it. You need to feel safe, don't you? You need to feel that, you know, you can take it. I suppose it's that fear that of making a mistake. I think sometimes, you know, we're worried about playing the wrong notes. And that fear can hold you back. And if you've got that confidence, that feeling that, yes, I can do this, you need to feel safe, don't you, to experiment and take those risks. And I think with improvising, you are risk taking. So having that safe space is really important.
Yeah. And where does your passion for all this come from?
I think I just love music. I think that's the first thing. I'm a real music geek. And growing up, my first saxophone teacher, actually, he was amazing. He was called George Carmichael, and he was just a bit of a maverick character. And he just really always encouraged me to improvise and have a go. And so I'd done that from quite an early age in my music lessons. So improvising wasn't scary. You know, it was something I felt like I enjoyed doing. So I just had that, I think, from the beginning, really, like having a go at improvising. And I think I just really love playing and want to be able to share that through the work that I do.
And I was thinking, as you were coming on the podcast today, and I was out delivering, well, I was putting up posters for my next gig at the Jazz Club up here on my bike. I was riding around and I thought, I wonder if Helena can describe her teaching style.
That's a really interesting question. I think you might have to ask some of my pupils. But I try to be supportive. I try to be fun, I guess. I try to, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't really like learning scales, and I understand like sometimes their reluctance, but it's sort of making them maybe see the value of, say, like, if you can see in a piece of music where a scale or an arpeggio is, or, you know, see, they're making it relevant. So, you know, you can see, why am I having to learn this? Well, you know, like if you've already learned this scale, you can see it's used in this piece. And I don't know about my teaching style. Haphazard, hit and miss, I don't know.
Yeah, I was just thinking, because I definitely, because obviously as we learn as instrumentalists, and, you know, when we've played in ensembles, you remember the good things, but you also remember the things that didn't sit right with you that perhaps really affected you negatively. So I think probably you might take, or I at least take, the good bits. And then the things that didn't sit well with me, I then kind of problem solve those to try and make it more accessible in what I do. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that's really true. Yeah, definitely. Because if you've had a negative experience and you know how that made you feel, then you don't want to repeat that experience. And it's, yeah, I guess sometimes there's kind of two schools, aren't there? There's that kind of like, I suffered, so you're going to suffer. Or there's that, you know, I suffered, so you're not going to suffer. And, you know, I'm going to try and think, how can I make this better? And yeah, so I guess, yeah, I do try and think about how a certain situation might have made me feel in the past, and yeah, not want to put pupils through that.
It's a weird one, isn't it? And sometimes it's like when you do, remember you used to do your grade exams, you don't even remember the bad bits. You know, it's really, your brain plays really weird tricks on you.
Well, I remember going to a seminar once, and there was the chief examiner from the ABRSM, and he was great, and he was talking about his first experience of doing an ABRSM exam. And he said he'd gone into this like really old-fashioned, like an old house, and it was really dark, the room, and he said there was this examiner behind the desk who looked about 100, and he came and he said, with his clarinet, and the examiner went, "Proceed." And he said it was just such a scary experience. And he thought, you know, that shouldn't be a child's experience of doing their ABRSM exam. And it's things like that, isn't it? They stick in your memory and you just think, how can we make it better?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm not going to say who this was. I'm sure he's probably passed away by now. But when I had an amazing teacher at primary school who taught me saxophone and clarinet, and then I didn't come from a musical family. So when I went to secondary school, I just signed up for lessons at the school. We had a music block that had a wooden floor. And I was in this room and I could hear this clonk, clonk, clonk. And this old man came in smoking a pipe with a walking stick. And he sat next to me and then he blew my clarinet. Yeah, I was like, ugh. And after that, he made me cry so many times. I went home and said, I'm giving up. My mum, and I don't think you should. So I got my old teacher back.
Good, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, just also that pipe. And then he blew my clarinet. Oof. Gross.
Yeah, I think it's like after COVID and, you know, hand gel and wipes, it sort of made me realise how disgusting like wider ops it can be. You know, like when you're teaching the whole class and reeds, especially reeds. So, you know, I think since COVID, it's like even more aware of like hand gel and
Yeah.
and wipes and
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
So tell me what you do for jazz, for the North Jazz organization. How does that all, is that a different role?
So my role for Jazz North is about learning and participation project manager. So I have the Jazz Camp for Girls project. I'm also involved in another project called the Playlist project, which is aimed at Key Stage 2 children, and it's an active listening scheme of work. So we have a playlist, and the class teachers that get involved with the project, there the first stage is encouraging their class to listen to the playlist. And then there are a number of activities. We have got like different creative activities, a movement, a vocal, like a brain break, different activities, all linked to the playlist. So each piece has its own activities. And then at the end of the project, there's like an interactive concert for the children to get involved with. Sometimes we can arrange for like a visit from a band of maybe students. So we managed to get some students from Leeds Conservatoire to go and visit a couple of schools and perform for the children, perform music from the playlist. So we've got our playlist project. And then I decided, well, we really need something for Key Stage 1. So
What
I've
is, just remind me, what is Key Stage 2? Because some people might not know.
sure. So I was thinking age-wise, about it's school years. If I
Yeah.
get the ages wrong, school years like 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
So it's a junior school.
Yep.
And then I thought it'd be nice to have something for the younger children. So there's this great book by Ed Veer called Mr. Big, and it's all about a gorilla. And he's quite sad because he hasn't got a lot of friends. And people are scared of him because he's so big. But he learns to play the piano, and he plays this lovely jazz music. And everyone hears his music and thinks, oh, I want to find out who's playing that music. And so there's a little band of monkeys who they track down Mr. Big, and they get him to join their jazz band. And then everyone hears his amazing music. He makes new friends. People aren't scared of him anymore. And so I love this story. You can maybe
I
tell
can tell, yeah.
personal favorite. So I decided, yeah, let's create like an active listening scheme using Mr. Big as the focus point. So yeah, there's another playlist attached to that and some activities for younger children. So we've got, yeah, our kind of two playlist projects. And then the other thing I'm working on at the moment is creating some resources, like a mixture of resources for both basically music teachers. Some are songs for maybe primary school age children. Others are more like wider ops kind of standard. So it's like beginner children. So like for strings, I've got like some like a piece for open strings. For woodwind, it's like three note, like a three note bossa tune. And then the idea is that there are sections within them where the children can improvise on those notes. So it's really kind of early level, first access, but ways into improvising, because I really feel that if you can start from the beginning, you only know three notes, fine, let's improvise using those three notes, then it doesn't become such a scary thing. And I think that's the problem with improvising, is quite often, people think, oh, I've got to be a certain level before, have that certain level of technical ability before I can even try. But we're kind of trying to switch it, turn it on his head and think, well, if you can only play three notes, you can improvise with three notes, and then it's just gradually building up on that. So don't wait until you're grade 6 to try improvising. Do it when you're not even grade 1.
Yeah, and if you can improvise, if you're a reader, then actually you find if you go wrong, you're much better at keeping going because you can just find a note and keep going.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sound so enthusiastic about this. I think you are the perfect person for this job, Helena.
Oh, thank you. Well, I do love it. It is great. And yeah, so I'm busy creating the resources at the moment, and at some point in the near future, they'll be available on the Jazz North website. So, teachers can go and, or anyone can just come and have a look at what I've been putting together.
And do you, is it just you, or do you have a few helpers?
I have a like a line manager. Right? There is a head of learning and participation, Nigel Slee. But I'm the kind of person that's creating these resources
Fine.
at the moment.
It's your baby.
It's my baby, yeah.
Yes. That took me a long time to make you claim that, Helena. You should be like, yes, it's mine.
I'm the person you can blame if you don't like them as well. Load of rubbish.
No, I think it's great to create these resources, definitely. And you also play in a band as well, don't you? Quite a few bands.
Yeah, well, I'm involved with a few bands that sort of between them, I can kind of gig quite regularly. But yeah, I'll give them a little shout out. So I play with a band called Unguvu, which is kind of a funky, it's got jazz influence, but it's kind of more like a kind of a funky, soulful rock. And something going on, quite heavy rock band. I play quite a lot with a great saxophonist called Mike Hall, and he has a band called Boplicity, and also just started a saxophone quartet with Mike. And then I play in a band called Ain't Misbehaving, and we've created a number of interactive children's shows, which again, the idea is to get kids up and dancing, and they're not shows where they have to sit still in the audience, but they really can get involved. So we have we always use a storyteller. So we have three stories. We have How Monkey Found His Swing. We have HMS Syncopation. And we have There Once Was a Bird. And so, yeah, the storyteller tells a story. And there are, you know, lots of opportunities for the children to get involved, either sort of, you know, joining by dancing, playing along with the music. And one of the members of the band, Helen Pillinger, is a kind of a Dalcroze expert. And so Helen's created some really nice Dalcroze activities that go alongside. But they're really good fun. And it's lovely, you know, for families. Because what I found, you know, as a parent, when my kids were little and as a musician, is a lot of the music for kids is really like dreadful, and or the backing tracks are very synthesized, but not in a good way. And we just thought it'd be nice to have concerts that parents could go along to and actually enjoy the music as well. So it's not really dumbed down. So it's still like, you know, quality jazz pieces of music that parents can enjoy them. But the kids can also engage really nicely with with what we're playing. So that was the idea, was we thought, right, let's get something that, you know, the whole family can enjoy. And then, yeah, put together our children's concerts that way.
And do you get many gigs with that?
Not enough.
Do you know what? I think you should. I think this sounds like an amazing, amazing idea.
Well, we're playing at the Manchester Jazz Festival. Manchester Jazz Festival, actually, they've been amazing. They've really supported the project, so we've played for them quite regularly. So yeah, we're doing HMS Syncopation and Then Once Was a Bird on the 18th of May at Manchester Jazz Festival this year. But yes, we are looking for more bookings. If people would like an interactive children's concert as part of their, you know, jazz festival or family friendly event,
Yeah,
get in touch.
sounds great. Sounds really good. And obviously you will travel.
We will, yes, we will definitely travel.
How do you balance like this enthusiastic education side with your playing? How does that, and a family?
I kind of have to focus on different things at different times. I mean, yeah, at the moment, I have to be honest, my playing has possibly taken a back seat to some of the other things I've been doing at the moment. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, because there isn't time to do the practice I need to do at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, for everyone, it's a, it's that balance, isn't it? And just having to prioritize. And as we were saying earlier, I have lots of notebooks with to-do lists
Yeah.
and trying to keep on top of everything.
Yeah, so it is a lot to keep on top of, and I was chatting to some of my friends about this, and they go, "Oh, I've just got so many things on my list. Like I ticked some off and now I've got more." And I think sometimes we need to remember that others feel exactly the same. Just because you've got rid of one email, then 10 more come in. But we just feel it's just us. It becomes overwhelming. Just hate that feeling.
Yeah, no, never ending lists of things to do.
Yeah. But I think that's what makes us creative. It's that brain, that buzzy brain.
Yeah, no, I'd agree.
So do you have any performances coming up soon?
Well, there's actually a nice concert I'm involved with, and I've recently sort of been back in touch with one of my friends from Guildhall, called Jody Sapsar. And Jody has this great kind of initiative called Make, Create, Feel Great Music. And so I'm looking forward to being involved with an event that she's putting on called Animal Fantasia, which is taking place on the 11th of April. And it's an event with Jody and another friend from Guildhall called Victoria Proudler, who's written some amazing like piano books for young musicians. And also the great music educator Paul Harris is going to be involved in this event. And so it's like it's billed as an enchanting narrated children's concert. So it's going to be lots of different music, all with the animal theme. And so that's something that I'm looking forward to being involved with. Mm. And that's taking place at St. Benedict's School in Ealing. So that's something that I've got coming up. And then the Jazz Festival performance. And then, yeah, just, I'm not sure at the moment. I've been so busy, you know, with Jazz Camp for Girls. I haven't maybe been as actively seeking gigs, but, you know, again, yeah. People want a slightly dodgy saxophone player, give me a call.
Not at all, not at all. But, you know, like, Jazz, if you think International Women's Day was only the start of this month, you haven't had that long to get over it. I've had a nuts March. I had 3 gigs that week, 2 the next. And I last week, I didn't know whether I was coming or going. I was just, whoa, my brain is just frazzled. All the driving and, yeah, you know, the logistics and getting the band everywhere. And
well, I think the thing is, at the moment, I'm also working, doing some work for the National Youth Jazz Collective, and it's their audition tour, which just kicked off on Monday. So I've been doing a lot of administration and making sure, you know, everyone gets to the right place at the right time. So many emails.
And tell us what you're doing with that organisation.
So at the moment, I'm their interim programme manager. I'm doing this in a kind of a caretaking capacity, as they've recently relocated to Leicester. So at the moment, people can apply for this role because it really needs to be a Midlands-based person who's able to be in the office. And I'm in Manchester, so it's a little bit too far for me. But yeah, it's making sure that the programme runs smoothly. So National Youth Jazz Collective do some amazing regional projects. They also have their summer programme, which is a programme now. It used to just be a summer school, but now they have their improvisers full course, they have their feeder short course, they have a vocal jazz camp, and they have a composer's course, which is amazing actually for young composers. So the composers get a chance to compose for a nonet of musicians who are taking part on the improvisers summer school. So they get to write music for the musicians on the summer school. And the standard, I went there last year, was absolutely amazing. I was just blown away by how talented these young musicians are. So yeah, so the National Youth Jazz Collective's summer programme is aimed for people sort of 14 to 18, a bit older than my Jazz Camp for Girls participants.
Yeah,
but it's just great to show that kind of progression that, you know, how people could take part in something like Jazz Camp for Girls and then progress, you know, to the short course and then the full course eventually. And it was great to see, you know, that there were some, you know, the girls, you know, with my sort of viewpoint, you know, seeing talented young girls that are, you know, accessing the summer programme. That was really good to see.
That's great. Really good. So I'm afraid we're coming to the end of our chat, Helena. But you'll be glad to know, as everybody always is, I have 2 Hannah questions.
Bit nervous but, now.
Yeah, I know. The first one is, well, I'm hoping that you know what Desert Island Discs is.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes they don't have to describe it. What would your Desert Island Disc be and why? You're allowed an album, not just one track.
Oh, so this is like an album that...
Forever.
Yeah, forever. I think, and this might, I don't know, be a controversial one, I think I'd have to go for Aja by Steely Dan. Just because that's kind of my go-to album. Like, I never get tired of listening to it. Yeah, so I think this is not entirely jazz, kind of jazz,
No, it doesn't matter what it is.
but I think that yeah, for me that would be my kind of always come back to that.
Great.
It's a great listen.
And the last question, what is your favorite time signature?
Oh, that's an interesting one. You see, because if I say 4-4, that's gonna make me sound quite boring, isn't it? Because that's kind of
You
like,
don't need to read anything into it. It's what your gut tells you.
But then I do quite like playing in three.
No, I like a three, but I'm not trying to
Yeah.
influence you, Helena.
I'm gonna go for three. I'm gonna go for a nice sort of a nice jazz waltz. I think let's have a nice jazz waltz there.
Nice. I love that question. It's a great question. Yep. So thank you so much for coming on today. It's been really great to chat to you. And if anybody has any questions about anything that Helen has spoken about, she is very active on social media. How can they find you?
I think if it's a Jazz North related question, you can contact me at helena@jazznorth.org. Or send me a message on Instagram. It's Helena J. Summerfield, musician.
There
And thank you so much for having me, Hannah.
You're
It's been really
welcome.
lovely to have a chat.
Yeah, and to meet you, because I know lots about you, but I've never ever seen you in person. Well, on a Zoom.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast for women in jazz media. We have a great back catalogue of podcasts with amazing women, including Claire Martin, OBE, Joe Harrop, Jay Steps, and many more. Please do check them out, and I'll see you at the next one.